So when I say the word 1984, what comes into your mind? Yeah, big hair, yeah. How about anybody, like if I said 1970, can any of you have any like particular memories of 1970? No, good. Most people don't have memories of 1970. when I think of 2007, okay, so we're coming way up here into the 2000s. When I think 2007, I think of, it was kind of a special year for me. I met this pretty blonde woman or lady who would become my wife. When I think of 2010, I think of the year of our wedding. It was kind of a blur up until the wedding, and then it was great, you know. And I think of different years and how each year can just stick out in our minds. When we just say a number, that number can stick out in our minds. Now, 2017, however, sticks out in my mind. So that was just last year, 2017, because 2017 was a really rough year. So there are great things. I think it's the hills and valleys of life, right, that make certain years stick out. You know, the years that your kids are born or that you get married or something special happens at work. 2017 was a rough year for me. Now, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Aaron. I was on staff here at Oakbrook for 4 years. 4 awesome years. God was really good to me and my family here at Oakbrook. He did some amazing things throughout that time. But for me personally, I was working bivocationally at that time. And you know, sometimes I've come to believe that God can bless our work. And sometimes God can take his hand or his hand of blessing off of what we do. And God, for reasons that I now know, you know, hindsight being 20/20, man, he took his hand of blessing off of my work. So this is crazy to me even saying it in front of anybody. I got fired from my job, okay? That's a bad start to a year. It was in January that I got fired from my job, okay? So that's how 2017 started out for me. But as I look back at it, and then I tried a new career that actually should have worked but didn't work because God's hand wasn't on it again. And God was leading us through 2017. And through, you know, I think sometimes we fall into cliches when we talk in church. And I can say hindsight is 20/20. God was working all things for good. But it was tough. It was really rough. It was rough on my marriage. It was rough on me personally. I think in some ways it was even rough on my kids. I have two beautiful little kids. And what I've realized, the hindsight, the 2020, what I've realized is that even though God had a work for me, I mean, God had a plan. He knew what he was doing. And as I look back, I can see, hey, this was the reason, at least for me personally, why God was allowing these things to happen. But it wasn't just me. So the rough year of 2017 didn't affect just me. And as we saw God answer prayer, as we saw God provide, every week I met with the same group of people to study Scripture. We called it a life group that we met with every week for a meal, for Bible study, and for prayer. The same group every single week. We prayed together. Now, in this group, it wasn't just us that we were praying for. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. There's lots of stuff going on in all of our lives. In fact, in that group, in that 1 year, that first year that we were together, we saw a daughter. Even though she didn't even live close to us, we got to see answer prayer for a daughter who couldn't carry children. Have twins. We saw we actually saw, there was one night we were praying for someone's ailment, somebody in the room, an ailment that they had been having. It was affecting his work. We prayed for it just like we prayed for everything else in the name of Jesus, in faith, not necessarily expecting an immediate answer, but that very night, God healed him. And we prayed, so our group also prayed for me and my wife. In the year of 2017, and what ended up resulting in God moving me and my family from here, I was on staff here for 4 years. My name's Aaron Hale, and I was blessed to be on staff here for 4 years. But God was doing something, and God answered our prayers by moving us to the great state of Indiana. Come on, you can laugh at that. Come on. Nobody did. Okay, life goals, you know, as you're listing your life goals, moving to Indiana is not one of those goals. Come on. I know that that's not the case. And it wasn't for us. But that net result of what God clearly wanted to do in our lives wasn't just about us moving to Indiana. God wanted to fulfill his promises to take care of us. And he wanted to do that to us, but he also wanted to show his power through us. He did that as those twins were born. He did that as a man was healed that very night. He did that through me and my wife. That his promises were fulfilled to us and through us. Today we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to get out, because we're going to dig into a portion of Scripture. And it's a portion that if you've been studying the Bible for a while, maybe you're going to learn something new. Because before I started, you know, digging into this text, this text made no sense to me whatsoever. I read through it and I'm like, I'm not preaching on that. And then God said, you are preaching on that. So here we are. Second Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 19 through 22. There's a Bible in the seat in front of you if you don't have it open on your phone or have your own Bible. So page 964. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no." So Jesus Christ, who we proclaimed, was not yes and no, but in him is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, I said it a little earlier. This made no sense to me. What is he talking about? Yeses and noes, and yeses and in him is a yes, and there's no yeses and noes. And I felt like it was like in middle school, like, do you like me, yes or no, right? No, this is confusing on first read. So today we're going to dive in. The subject matter is promises. And what we're going to see is Jesus is God's yes. Jesus fulfills everything that God has ever promised. And then we'll dive into what amen means a little bit later. So first, let's look at the word yes. So in the passage it says, "For in him, for all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus." Now when I say yes, maybe some of my friends in this room have experienced this. When I say yes to you, and I don't get out my phone and put it on my calendar, my yes does not mean a lot. Because I am terrible at remembering things. We're going to go out to coffee on Tuesday. Okay, yes, that's a great idea. If I don't get my phone out right then and there, my yes is essentially worthless. Because I'm going to forget, and you're going to be sitting there alone at a coffee shop wondering, where is that dumb redhead guy? My yeses don't mean much. But the promises of God fulfilled in Jesus, that yes, that's deep. You see, from the time of Adam, God was saying, I'm going to give you, so humankind, I'm going to give you a sacrifice. He instituted the sacrificial system with Adam and Eve. And from that point on, God gave promise after promise, eventually giving a promise to a man named Abraham. And in that promise, he kept building and building and building, and until an entire nation was looking forward to what they called Messiah, to their Savior, one who would free them. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They were looking for a guy on a white horse with a big sword to come in, to ride in, and to take care of all their enemies. And you know what? It makes sense. It really does. You read the Old Testament, and if you're not cynical and judgmental, you can understand how those promises of Messiah could be interpreted as a military hero. However, that's not the way that God was going to say his yes. So, the way he said his yes was a little boy born to a couple that was looked down on by everyone around them because everyone around them thought this woman went out and got pregnant without her husband. They thought that this baby was illegitimate. This baby, how God fulfilled his yes, was born in a stable. I'm sorry, I don't want any of my babies born where I can smell poop, okay? I mean, we complain about hospitals that have a dirty floor. This floor was disgusting. The way that God fulfilled his promise was in a man who went around teaching for 3 years, healing people, talking about very confusing things about this kingdom where the first is last and the last is first. God always comes through on his promises. He's never late. He's never early. He's always on time. But the way in which he fulfills his promises, I'm sorry, is not always how we expect him to. I think about that in my own life. His yes, it was on time, but it didn't seem on time. His yes to take care of my family didn't look like how I thought it would. And yet, I see this beautiful fulfillment that couldn't have been accomplished in any other way. You know how you think back and you think, if I could go back and redo this. And as I look back, and as God has affirmed over and over and over and over again, that this is his will, this is right for us, I wouldn't change it. As terrible as 2017 was, as embarrassing as it is to say in front of many people that I got fired, I wouldn't change a thing. And you know what? God seals his promises on our hearts. Because there are moments in which we are waiting for a promise fulfilled. I'll come back to that in a second. What are some promises that we look to be fulfilled? How about God will always provide? That's a good one, right? How about God is always close to us? When we're brokenhearted, that's when God is closest. He gives wisdom to those who ask. I was begging for wisdom in 2017. It didn't seem to come very easily. God will make the last first and the first last in his kingdom. Blessed are the poor, for they have kingdom. I felt pretty poor. If we confess our sins, God's faithful to forgive us. God has plans for us to give us a hope and a future. There's some big promises in Scripture. But in the moment, we don't feel those promises, do we? In the moment, as we approach the end of the month and we know bills are coming and we know money is not in the bank account, we don't feel those promises, do we? In our passage here, the writer Paul says in verses 21 and 22, it is God who establishes us with you. So he's talking to Paul with the Corinthian church. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ. He's anointed us and he's put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of those promises he just got done talking about. It is the Holy Spirit. If you have accepted Jesus, if you have decided to give your life from him, turn from sin and toward the kingdom, toward the way, Jesus himself, and God has given you his Spirit. And it is his Spirit that can sustain you through the times where, frankly, you're saying, God, I just want to know you're here. You know, and then I can move on to whether or not you're going to take care of me. Because sometimes in the darkest times, that's where we are. But it is his Spirit that can not only get us through those times, but make that time a time in our life that we can point back and say, I wouldn't change that. Because God fulfills his promises to us, and then he fulfills his promises through us. Now, I just got done talking about how difficult at times it can be to accept that God fulfills his promises. However, there's another side of this. We live in the United States of America, you know? We are this capitalistic, consumeristic, we are consumeristic, very much like the Corinthian church. We are a consumeristic society. I wasn't bashing capitalism there, by the way. Don't, like, go off and write an email to Pastor Troy or Jason or, you know. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is we live in America, and we are as consumeristic as they come. It is all about us. And in fact, you know, businesses are built and businesses fall by how good they are to their customers, right? Their products, their customer service, they rise and fall. And so it's, even though it can be very difficult to accept God's promises, at the same time, we kind of have this innate thing where when we go to God in prayer, we can pray in faith at times and use God as this cosmic genie in a bottle. Or even worse, use his promises, use the very things that he said against him. You said that anything I ask in the name of Jesus, you'll give me. So, you know, that kind of consumeristic relationship. Can you imagine that working in a regular relationship? You know, you have a rich uncle that all you ever do is go to and ask for money. Like, that's not a great relationship. And yet, we have a sweet daddy, a heavenly father, who has promised many things. And he's even proven that he'll fulfill his promises over and over and over again. But they're not just for us. Just like I talked about earlier in my introduction, these promises being fulfilled are not just to us, they are also to be fulfilled through us. So, all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Now, amen. Like you every once in a while hear a loud guy like Brother Jim over here say, amen, preach it, right? What does amen mean? Actually, he hasn't said amen at all. He must not like, no, I'm just kidding. No, I love Brother Jim over here. What does amen actually mean? So we say it, but we sometimes don't know. It means I agree, right? You know, that's what they're saying when they say preach it. You know, I agree. Keep it going. In scripture, the word amen, when Jesus uses it, means truly as well. It's like true that, right? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's truly, or I agree. So what does this passage mean when it says we utter our amen? I think this is why it was confusing to me. I was talking yes and no's, and where, what does amen have to do anything with this? But it's saying that we find our yes in Jesus, and that is why through Jesus we utter an amen to God for his glory. So when we find God's promises fulfilled, when God does come through, even if it's not how we expected, at this point is when more than just our words, this is not just a verbal utterance of amen. This is a life pointing to the glory of God. This is beautiful. So we are part of God's fulfillment process. We said he's not too late, he's not too early, but also the delivery system is quite beautiful. Now, I don't care how my Amazon package gets delivered, okay? I just care that it comes in 2 days when I click on 2 days. And then I move to Indiana, and when I click on 2 days, it's actually 3 days because I'm too far outside of the city. Whereas here, I can get it like in an hour or something like that, right? It's kind of crazy. But I don't care how I get it. If it's a drone that drops it from the sky and a little motor that takes it down to my doorstep, I don't care as long as I get it on time. But the amen, the promises of God fulfilled, the delivery system matters. Delivery system matters. And here's why I say that. In Romans chapter 8, and we ask big questions like, what's God's will for my life? Romans chapter 8 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Okay. That's big, you know? That's what we remember. Somebody brought this to life for me, and it actually changed my view. God works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So that's talking about us to be what? To be conformed into the image of his Son. To be molded into the image of Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What is the end of man? to glorify God, to enjoy him, but to be like Jesus in this passage. And it's a both and. He called us according to his purpose to be conformed into the image of his son and to share in his glory. The delivery system matters. So is that our amen today? That's what I'm submitting to you. That God, in his goodness, gave us many promises in his word. All of his promises are fulfilled through Jesus. But it is how we live our lives, how we respond to his goodness, that is the amen that glorifies God the Father. God fulfills his promises to us and through us. Now, there's just, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 miles down the road, there's a little apartment in Pewaukee. Little one-bedroom apartment. It's not the nicest apartment complex, but it's, you know, it's well taken care of. And about 9 years ago, actually, this young redheaded guy that you see in front of you, who was much skinnier at the time, moved into this little one-bedroom apartment because he was getting ready to marry a girl. You know? Oh, look at them. They're so cute. He's getting ready to marry a girl. You know what? I remember the excitement surrounding moving into that apartment, and my wife grew up around here. Her parents are actually here this morning. And so she was living at home with her parents, and we were excited. We didn't have much money, you know. Every penny was going toward that wedding day, but man, we were excited. And my wife Melissa, we knew that she was going to have one more year of school, and like, how are we going to do that? I don't know. Like, financial aid, student loans. Like, we were ready to get married, so we did. A few months in, we were stretched pretty thin. God provided me a job, and even though I had a ministry degree, I got a job at a bank, so that was, you know, right on. And so I was making enough to get by, and she was Melissa was traveling from Watertown to Pewaukee and back for school. And I remember one month, we got all the way down in our bank account. So we watched it every day. We watched it really close. We got down so low, it was literally a dollar in change, that when we went out to go buy, you know, lunch for that week, we bought a loaf of bread and that nasty rubbery cheese, you know, that comes in individual packets. Okay, I know some of you still eat that. I'm not judging you, but it's not cheese, guys. Come on, it's not cheese. So we bought bread and rubber cheese, and that was lunch for an entire week. The problem was bills were coming up. So we had enough food. God provided our needs through our dollar and change in our bank account. But we had bills coming up. I remember having a conversation with God. Why is it that I feel like everyone else just has money show up when they pray, and I've never really had money just show up when I pray? God, we need We need you to provide. And I don't know how it's going to happen. And it wasn't a day or two later that we got some junk mail, because all the time, you know. And I opened it up, and it was, you know, of course it looked like it was on letterhead, and then it had one of those fake checks. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, it's this much money, as long as you sign up for this. And it wasn't fake. You know, Melissa got home, and we were looking through it, and it wasn't fake. It was this settlement from a holiday job that I had while I was in college. It lasted like 3 months before this company went bankrupt. And I just happened to be in there, and I get this check because there was some sort of lawsuit with their bankruptcy. I didn't care. God came through. Now, did God come through because I prayed? Maybe. I don't think so. At least, that's not the only reason he came through. Did he come through and fulfill his promise because I'm special? Definitely not. I think he just came through and fulfilled his promise because he's good. He's really good. He's kind. And because he wanted me to say amen. He wanted me to, many years later, go through an entire year of... It was rough. I won't use descriptors. It was rough. Where I could sit down every week and pray with boldness and confidence in a God who had came through in the past, praying in the name of Jesus, even though sometimes it's scary to do that, because what if he says no? But in that situation, in 2010, with that cute young couple that you saw up there, God used that situation to allow me to influence others. Not because of what I say, but because of how I prayed, how I expect God to answer. And with that bold faith in prayer, at least 10 people in that group are praying that same way now. And those 10 people praying in the name of Jesus hopefully will affect you. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've seen God come through, and maybe you are that amen. Maybe you are that person that says, hey, God needs to get glory, and so I'm going to pray like he's going to do it. And when he doesn't do it in my time, I'm going to keep praying. Basically, Jesus said, keep pounding on my door. Annoy the snot out of me. As Jesus, you know, the very words of Jesus, annoy the snot out of your heavenly Father. No, but that's what he says. When he doesn't answer, keep knocking. And maybe you are that amen. Maybe you are the reason, just like compound interest builds on each other, that someone's faith will be compounded. That the faith of the church, so let's say the church here in Sussex, the Big C Church here in Sussex, will be grown. Because not only does God fulfill his promises to us, but through us, as we say our amen, his promises are fulfilled through us. Let's pray. Father, you are a good daddy. Just as we sang about as the service started, you are perfect in every single way. The way that you fulfill your promises, the way that you take care of us, the way that you work your will, it's perfect in every single way. Father, I pray for someone in this room who is in the middle of what I would call a 2017-like year for me. Father, I ask that you would give peace, that through your Spirit you would sustain and seal your promises on their hearts. Father, do that because you're good, we would ask. And Father, I pray for the rest of us who are not in that season, but we've seen you fulfill promises. I ask that you would move our hearts, move our actions to be that amen to a world that desperately needs your glory, because that's what this is all for. We become Christ-like, we become like our Savior, and you get glory. That's our prayer this morning.